Breton Radio, I'm Matt McCutchie from IDFA 2014, joined by Roel Nollet, who is the director of Nathan Free as a Bird that's being presented here at the festival and is having its international premiere here. So thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me for this interview.
Right, so I guess the best way to start off the interview would be to actually tell our listeners a little bit about what the film is about, what it talks about.
Yeah. Nathan Free as a Bird is about a man, Nathan, who was a woman first. Nathan was called Nancy, he's a transgender man. And I followed him during 3 years in his transition. And in the last months, because he applied for euthanasia for unbearable psychic suffering. And this story was spread worldwide after he died last year, the 30th of September.
Yeah. And how did it all start? How did you come across Nathan?
I met Nathan the first time in the cafe underneath the redaction of the television station I was working. So we had an editing room, and underneath that was a cafe, and he was working there. And my editor-in-chief, he asked me to meet him, because he said, okay, there's a man or a woman at the time working there, and he's busy with a transition. Can you make a report about that? And that's how it started, basically. But I never made the report, and I just kept following him. I just started filming, because it was a long-term project, and everyone forgot about I was making it. And then it turned out into something else, because first it was a story about a woman becoming a man, and then it turned out to be a story about a man getting euthanasia for unbearable psychic suffering.
So in the end, you weren't an outsider anymore. You were one of them, basically, one of the friends that was there.
I was always a documentary maker, let's say, or a journalist at first. But there was some a link of confidentiality between me and Nathan and his friends, because that's what you need when you make a film like that. You need to get in the inner circle of the friends, and that just happened, you know.
It's
you need to get, or you get involved in a way, and you as a documentary maker, you want to keep some distance to observe what is happening, and at the same time you're part of the story somehow.
Now, you said that you followed his story, and at first it was supposed to be some sort of a success story, you know, this man is changing his life, but then all of a sudden something changes, something drastic happens. Did you find it hard to keep going with the story as it progressed, and as he, in fact, as it is implied from the start, he would kill himself through euthanasia?
Yeah, in the first months I followed him, he was really euphoric. When he was busy changing, he was taking hormones, and he was feeling really well. And he said, okay, I feel I'm becoming the man I always wanted to be. And he also said, for me, there are only two possibilities, or I become that man, or I end my life, or it's game over for me. But that really, in the first months, it was... I thought it was something he just said because he was feeling really well, and I never really had attention for that. But that came later on, of course, because it all changed when his operation started to go wrong.
Oh, okay.
And he fell into a deep depression, and we kept in contact, but there were times he said, okay, now I don't want to see any camera, and I always respected that.
Oh, right.
But I thought, okay, should I do this or shouldn't I? Because I didn't want to film any planned suicide or something like that. That wasn't the plan from the beginning, so I had to check, okay, is this illegal in the first place, because he was going to apply for euthanasia for unbearable psychic suffering. I didn't know that was legal. Now I know it is legal in Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg. And he convinced me, actually, to say, okay, this is my choice. I'm going to do it anyway. And I think why I decided to do it is, I think when he hadn't applied for euthanasia, he probably had been dead earlier. it was his plan to do it. His friends also tried to convince him not to do it, but he started to respect his choice. And in a way, he had people around him that listened to that story. And at that point, I was like, okay. But I had questions. I had questions in the beginning, and certainly when he said, okay, I'm going to apply for euthanasia, I asked myself, should I do this or shouldn't I?
International media got to this story, to this event, and kind of, you know, talked about it a lot. Did that add to your responsibility as a filmmaker?
The international media, they got onto the story when Nathan had the euthanasia already. So the day after Nathan died, it was in all the newspapers worldwide in countries I didn't even know before. I saw it on the internet. They asked me for live interviews on Al Jazeera and CBC Radio Canada, and that was really overwhelming, actually. And but people asked questions also for me as a filmmaker. How did you get involved, and didn't you have any responsibility, because didn't you give Nathan a platform, or didn't he want it to be filmed, and is that the reason why he applied for the euthanasia? But I don't think that that's the case, because he applied for euthanasia a long, long time before.
Yeah. Now, so what do you think then would have been the message that Nathan was trying to get across by having his story told?
I just think he said one time, I think this is something I only do for myself, because he had a terrible youth. There was a past of incest and abuse. He had the feeling he had always lived for others, and this was something that he was doing only for himself. That is what he repeatedly said. This is my plan. I'm going to get through with it, and even my friends cannot convince me not to do it. So I think if there was a message, the message was, there is something I want to do for myself, and that is, I'm going to end it. Because,
And at the same time, this is a film, from a viewer's perspective, that does spark up debates of all kinds.
Yeah, the real message, I think, that Nathan wanted to get past is, take care of one another, take care of each other, because that is what he always wanted, that is what he never got, and that is what he wants other people to have attention for, to take care of another. So things like what he went through, they don't have to happen always like this.
Well, it's a really powerful documentary, and I thank you very much for taking the time off and talking with us about it.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, and good luck with the screening tomorrow. This is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.